just looking at the way things have been developing, I'll stick with this last week. Obviously, a lot has changed since my last call. But the key features, I think, are the wind back on some of the tariff announcements coming out of the United States. So where they've occurred, they've almost been looked at as positives for the market, even though the risks from a trade war still remain. And those risks, the key ones, are that the US growth rate peels back to some degree, and we've got some evidence of that, and we end up with higher inflation than otherwise would be the case. In some ways, it's the supply chain which is being impacted, and most severely for the United States. It's doing most damage to itself. But for the time being, markets, whenever they see that President Trump is winding back on tariffs, they tend to take an optimistic view of that. But I think the risk is growing again. And we can see that at the weekend where we had the announcement about steel and aluminium tariffs. And he was touring around Pittsburgh. So what does he do to meet local requirements? He announces that he's going to double the tariff to 50% from 25%. On imported aluminium and steel. So you can see this is very, very erratic, and it makes it quite difficult to see how that will impact the US economy over time. And I think that's going to come through this week. If we look just at the data last week, what we see is a US economy which is likely to have been growing in the second quarter. In the first quarter, we had Q1 GDP. We had the second report of that last week. And in the first quarter, we had a slight contraction in the US economy. So Q1 GDP, the number we got, the revised figure, was minus 0.2%. That's an annualized figure too. So it's barely falling. It was minus 0.3% in the advance reading, and that's down from plus 2.4% growth annualized going back to Q4 last year. But also last week, we had a first read at the Atlanta Fed Now Q2 GDP report, and that's suggesting that the US economy will grow at around about 2.2%. Now, in Q2. Now, how so? How is it that it could contract slightly in Q1 and have this rebound in Q2? Well, this is part of the disruption from the tariff announcements. Ahead of the tariff announcements, many US businesses lifted their imports, and imports are a detraction from GDP growth. So we had a massive lift in imports, massive widening of the US trade deficit, and it was that which dragged GDP growth into negative territory slightly in Q1. We've got the rebound effect on that now, and so in recent figures relating to trade in the US, we've seen imports coming down very sharply, and as a result of that, that means you get the opposite effect, and you get that adding back to growth. The underpinnings for growth in the United States are where they've been all along, and that's largely been consumer spending. Consumer spending still comparatively strong. It has been slowing to some degree, but not by much. But we had some interesting figures last week relating to that. So, for example, we had the Conference Board's May Consumer Confidence Survey came out. This had a much bigger bounce than expected. It lifted from 85.7 to 98. It was expected to go to 87.1. So that survey suggests that people are starting to feel fairly confident again in the United States. Having said that, we had some figures for April personal income and personal spending. Personal income still holding up fine, and this is one reason to still be comparatively optimistic about US growth over time, notwithstanding the uncertainties which President Trump and his policy prescriptions throw into the mix. But personal income lifted by 0.8% for the month of April, much more than expected. It was up 0.7% the month before. So plenty of personal income growth. But consumers in April were getting a little bit more wary. They're putting some of that towards savings because personal spending was up only 0.2%. That's relatively weak after being up 0.7% going back the month before. We also had some, the usual initial jobless claims the most recent week. These had been holding down pretty well the last few weeks. Go back a week, and we were down at 226,000. We thought it'd be 229-ish thousand. It was 240,000. So a little bit of deterioration running through there, but nothing dramatic there. It still looks as if the US economy, as I say, is holding together comparatively well. We also had Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. The final reading of that came out, and it's just held at 52.2, the same as the month before. It hasn't shown the same bounce that the Consumer Confidence Survey was showing just yet. But the other important factor in the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey is that we do get this reading of inflation expectations, and they're still holding very, very high. And this is what's worrying the Fed. It's one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve, even though it sees risk of weaker economic growth, is more frightened by the risk that inflation stays sticky and high in the United States. And one-year inflation expectations in the University of Michigan survey actually edged up to 6.6% from 6.5%. Now, you know, obviously, there may be some exaggeration in this in the way that people see inflation, but yeah, that obviously is way too high as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned. And five-year inflation expectations, they did come back a slightly, but to 4.2% from 4.4%. If you went back a few months ago, these were running at twos and threes for the annual changes. So yeah, there's been a big change in the way that people in the United States see inflation going forward. And that's at the back of the Fed's mind. It's one of the reasons why they've been holding their rates and holding it at quite a high level, above 4%, whereas we've seen rates coming down in many places elsewhere, including here. Moving to this week in the United States, well, there's no way of predicting what President Trump announces next, and that's one of the uncertainty factors that goes into the U.S. at any time. It appeared late last week that there were some problems with the trade negotiations between the U.S. and China. There was then the usual press statement on social media from President Trump that, I'm having a phone call with President Xi and it looking very promising. You can never tell. All we can say is that through the course of May, we have had some deals struck, notably those ones with the UK and the US over trade. Obviously, the one with the European Union is now back up in the air after the steel announcement at the weekend. So it's still very, very volatile in terms of those sorts of announcements running through, which is actually a risk factor when we're looking at prospects moving ahead. But the numbers we're watching for this week, right at the end of the week, we're going to get non-farm payrolls. And it's how well the labor market is holding together in the United States. So far, it's not been too bad. So going back to April, we had relatively strong growth in non-farm payrolls, 177,000. The market expects that will come back to about 130,000. But 130,000 is still not too bad as far as growth in non-farm payrolls is concerned. And the unemployment rate is still expected to be steady at 4.2%. Wait and see what comes through there. But at this stage, we haven't really had a major crack in that tightness in the labor market. Also, in terms of average hourly earnings, wages growth is continuing to outpace inflation for the time being. Back in April, average hourly earnings rose by 0.2%. They're up 3.8% year on year. When the May numbers come out, they're expected to be up 0.3%. That'll bring the annual rate back to 3.7%, but that's still well north of inflation readings, which, depending on whether you're looking at the CPI or whether you're looking at the price deflator for consumption spending, are running around about 2.4, 2.5. So you've still got very strong real wage growth running through the US as well. So just watching for those numbers as we go towards the end of the week. Also this week, we've got the ISM Manufacturing Survey and the ISM Non-Manufacturing Survey. These leading indicators are still relatively firm. The May ISM Manufacturing Survey is expected to lift slightly from 48.7 to 49.3. It's just below the 50 expansion contraction marker, but not markedly below. And the ISM non-manufacturing survey, that was pretty firm last month at 51.6. That's in expansion territory and expected to lift a little bit to 52. So this is the conundrum for the US. We're all fearful that the US, because of a trade war, is doing harm to itself and that the economy is risking recession. But the numbers still really aren't quite saying that. There's some evidence of some slowing running through. But the factors which keep together the mainstay of US growth, which is income growth for households and those sorts of things, employment growth, still running pretty strongly. So just watching as we go ahead. Moving to China. And last week in China, we had the official manufacturing PMI came out, the non-manufacturing PMI. They're holding up okay. So the manufacturing PMI lifted from 49 to 49.5. It's not above the expansion contraction marker. And obviously China's right in the gun sights as far as the US is concerned when it comes to their trade. But it's still holding not too badly. And the non-manufacturing PMI, that came back just slightly to 50.3 from 50.4, but it's above the 50 marker. So a little bit of growth running through the Chinese side. We get the cakes inversions of this coming out through the course of this week a bit delayed because they've got their dragon boat holiday for Monday. But for Tuesday, we get the cakes in manufacturing PMI comes out. Looking a little bit better than the official one. It was at 50.4 last month. Looks as if it lifted to 50.8 for the most recent month. And on Thursday, we get the May cakes in non-manufacturing PMI comes out, and that's expected to lift to 51.1 from 50.7. So, you know, not too bad, those figures, as far as China's concerned, although there's risk with what's happening with the trade negotiations at the moment. Then moving to Australia, and last week, we had some early numbers from the second quarter. We also had some Q1 numbers relating to construction work done and private new capital expenditure. Basically, the Q1 numbers, construction work done and private new capex, softish. So construction work done was flat after being lifting an upwardly revised 0.9% going back to the quarter before. Private new capital expenditure down 0.1% after being up 0.2% going back the quarter before. Inside that, building was doing okay, up 0.9% quarter on quarter, but expenditure on plant machinery was down by 1.3%. The survey in that, looking to future capex spending, is actually quite firm, so it suggests that businesses are planning to spend more as they go ahead. Then we had a series of April numbers and home building approvals. They were down, surprisingly, by 5.7% after being down 7.1% the month before. There appears to have been a bit of a break in the run-up in apartment building approvals over the past couple of months, so that one's looking quite soft. April retail sales actually fell by 0.1% after being up 0.3% going back the month before, so that one's comparatively soft. Private sector credit, though, that had a very strong month, was up 0.7% after lifting 0.5% the month before, and some of that relates to housing. Housing finance commitments at the moment are rising pretty strongly, and we've just had some detail about house prices, and there appears to be a fairly consistent rise starting again in house prices all the way around Australia, partly driven by the interest rate cuts that the Reserve Bank's put through both in February and in May. And in time, that's going to become an inflation problem again. So just watching to see how all that develops as we go out over time. We also had the April CPI came out, the monthly one, and it wasn't quite as low as expected. Now, going back to the Reserve Bank's meeting, they adjusted downwards their inflation forecasts, my view is, very prematurely, because I think there is some inflation risk in Australia that's going to build. The Reserve Bank push down inflation as far as they were concerned. But this most recent monthly figure, it was expected to drift down to 2.3% year on year for the CPI from 2.4%. It stayed at 2.4%. And the trim mean, the underlying, actually lifted from 2.7 to 2.8. Now, already that's putting at risk those changes to the Reserve Bank's forecasts. So just watching that as it develops. The main reason that our inflation rate's staying down, when they bring down interest rates, it goes through into the housing component, and that tends to moderate the housing component inside the inflation rate. So that's one of the reasons why the inflation rates come back to some degree, plus also all those initiatives from the government, many of those which will wind off as we go through the later part of this year. So just watching that part pretty carefully. The RBA is still in the mind to continue cutting rates for the time being, but I think the data is going to catch them out as we go a bit further down the track. And moving to that this week, we're going to get we get things like ANZ job ads coming out today. They were up last month by 0.5%. Still looking pretty firm. And you know, going back a bit, you know, remembering that the most recent labour force data, the labour market still looks very, very strong. You know, we had jobs growth up 89,000 for the month of April. It's running way stronger than the Reserve Bank had in its forecasts at the time of the May monetary policy statement. So still some strength running through there. We get before the GDP reading, which comes out on Wednesday, we get things like business inventories, company profits, Q1 current account and net export contribution to GDP. Business inventories expected to have lifted again a little. That's actually a contribution to growth, likely to be up 0.2% quarter on quarter. They come out tomorrow after being up 0.1% the quarter before. Company profits still lifting. They were up 5.9% as far as the statistician was concerned. Going back to Q4 last year, they expect to have lifted another 1.4%. Net export contribution, a flattish contribution from net exports to GDP growth, but after a 0.2 percentage point contribution going back the quarter before. And just ahead of the GDP, we also get the RBA minutes. There's not much more the RBA can say, though, in those minutes, because that's actually the detail of what was discussed in that meeting. And we heard a lot about that from the Reserve Bank Governor herself when she mentioned that they toyed with the idea of a 50 basis point cut rather than the 25 basis point cut. And you know, that obviously has got people fairly excited about the chances of the Reserve Bank continuing to cut rates. We'll see that again in the minutes, because it is the minutes of that meeting. And then on Wednesday, we get Q1 GDP. It still looks as if we've got growth in the US, in the Australian economy in Q1. This is compare and contrast many of the economies around the world where we've had Q1 data coming through. The Q1 data out of the US, they had that pullback because an awful lot of imports were brought forward. So you had a slight negative reading for GDP running through US GDP. That wasn't the case for Europe. So in both the EU and particularly so in the UK GDP, they're actually firmer than expected and had positive GDP growth. Our Q1 GDP also looks as if it's stayed positive. We had quite a big bounce last quarter where we had 0.6% GDP growth, which lifted the annual rate of change to 1.3%. The market consensus for the figure on Wednesday is that we'll get 0.4% quarter on quarter, and that will be up 1.5% year on year. So you know, we've got reasonably firm GDP growth. You know, what this suggests is that you know, the rest of the world, other than the US, was actually in a slightly improving trend, running into all these problems that the US has pushed onto the rest of the world from its trade war. So just waiting to see you know, how all that develops. And then moving to Europe, we didn't have a lot of data. In fact, the key one was the Business and Consumer Confidence Survey, and that was firmer. This is for May, in the middle of the second quarter, and it lifted to 94.8 from 93.8. So a relatively firm result there. This week we get the CPI in Europe, and it's still in this process of coming down a bit, mostly because of energy prices. You know, energy prices have held down CPIs many places around the world, expected that the annual rate of inflation will come down from 2.2 to 2.0. But the core CPI is still holding pretty sticky, around about 2.7%. For the time being, that's not worrying the ECB. They're still responding more to risks from the trade war. And the ECB meets this week, and they probably will cut another quarter percentage point. So the deposit rate from the ECB will come down to 2% from 2.25%. They'll also get other figures, such as their unemployment rate. They're still holding together really well. The April unemployment rate is expected to go sideways at 6.2%, the lowest unemployment rate in the last 25 years. So still some strength running through there. And also on Friday, we'll get revision of the Q1 GDP. And I mentioned that, you know, GDP is holding up pretty well. They had 0.3% quarter-on-quarter GDP growth, 1.2% year-on-year growth. It looks as if they'll be fairly much unchanged. Also, compare that with just across the English Channel. The UK had a 0.6% quarter-on-quarter GDP growth rate. There's been quite a significant lift in activity across the Channel relative to continental Europe. But in both cases, they're running relatively strongly, and they're running better than the US. And this also helps to account for why over the past couple of months you've had some movement where many people have been investing in European assets relative to US assets. But in general, you know, we've had risk assets lifting. Now, my view is that they've probably lifted too much, and that given the uncertainties that are still being generated out of the US, there should be some pullback in those. But the other feature we've had over the last few weeks, or last couple of months, is this drift up in bond yields. It's not been consistent. Every now and then we've had some pullbacks, but for the most part, they're holding up there pretty solidly. And even in countries where, you know, we've had interest rates coming down, such as our own now, the bond yields are really not responding that much. And in the case of the US, they're drifting upwards. And it's not just a case of the uncertainty around inflation caused by the tariffs. Of course, in the US, it's the lack of concern about government debt there, and things like the tax extension that went through from President Trump earlier without any consideration of how it was going to be funded. And so we've got these mix of factors which are influencing assets at the moment.